There is no grief which time does not lessen and soften. Those words from Cicero 2,000 years ago try to capture the grieving process that so many in the world are experiencing in this pandemic. And as it turns out, grieving can harm a person's health. It's linked to high blood pressure, shorter lives, and sleeping problems. And our next guest says it's high time for a collective response to measure the problem and prevent future suffering. Dr. Tony Miles is professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of Georgia. Dr. Miles, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. Now, you, of course, study bereavement beyond COVID-19. Tell me about your research in the state of Georgia. This was collected before the pandemic between 2018 and 2019. You were looking at grief and public health, soul and body, as it were, and the cost here.
So, full disclosure, I'm a boomer, born in the middle of the bump. And about in the year 2012, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a geriatrician, and we all realized that we were starting to lose family members, you know, parents, grandparents. So I started then to look at how much that large scale of death in a single year affects the health of people, you know, who are exposed. And that quickly found out that nobody captures bereavement.
Well, so these questions are understudied? Is that what you found?
Yes. So last October, we finally got the data on bereavement in Georgia. And it turns out that's 45% of the population aged 18 and over were newly bereaved in that two-year window.
45%, basically one in two people in the state of Georgia.
Exactly. Who were 18 and over. So
wow.
Keep in mind, we're not counting, you know, kids.
And Tony, tell me, what were some of the specific findings about the public health impacts of bereavement that stand out to you?
In the Health and Retirement Survey cohort, people 50 and older, we found that bereavement increases your risk of dying twofold. And that risk, that elevated risk, never goes back.
And can you talk about the risk for hospitalizations?
Yes. So in the HRS cohort, again, bereavement increases your risk for needing an overnight hospital stay, for being sick enough to be hospitalized. And that risk is increased about 75% above background.
Again, that's a striking number, right? And mm-hmm. finally, how about the increased risk for needing healthcare services?
People who are bereaved are 1.5 times more likely to visit a doctor 20 or more times in the two-year period after bereavement.
People who are in this, I guess, bereavement window include me. I've lost two close friends in the last month or so. If you looked at people like me, statistically, what do you worry about as far as increased medical and public health risk?
So that's a great way to frame it, because people don't get sick all at once. Some habit they have that makes them more likely to be sick and have those outcomes. And what I just looked at in the Georgia data now, which has a younger group, so it also includes people who are 18 and over. And what we see is an increased rate of binge drinking among particularly males, particularly young males. So if I were talking to you, I would ask you, do you think that you're drinking more? I would screen you for alcohol consumption, because that influences death, that influences need for hospitalization, you know, all kinds of outcomes that you might not believe are related to bereavement, but are.
And you would also look at people like me in this window and say, the system needs to respond, because these people are at a higher risk of dying and a higher risk of being hospitalized. Yeah,
correct. But it's not just the diseases that they have. It is the whole structure of how they are behaving and acting at this point. So if you are an asthmatic, and this is now you're getting my life's experience, young woman with asthma that's normally well controlled, her father dies, she just stops treating her asthma and dies of an asthma attack. That's what I'm talking about. So there's a period of vulnerability. All of us who know folks need to be aware of so we can help people.
Well, I mean, this is almost this hidden bereavement cost on society. What is kind of top of mind for you when you think about the important public health questions and interventions we need to be talking more about? Blood pressure, shortened lives, depression, sleep, what?
All of it. Well, so the first thing we need to do is count the bereaved and understand the thing that causes the one person they're connected to die is less important than the fact of having lost someone. In Georgia, 65% of that newly bereaved population lost a family member, but everybody else was kind of focused on their friends. So we tend to not see the death of close friends as being as traumatic as, say, loss of your parents. But
yeah.
Americans love their friends, and it increases the risk of these other outcomes. So we really do need to have more empathy, recognizing that if someone says, someone died that I'm really close to, we need to take a moment and find out what they have lost in addition to losing that person. And I will tell you, the group that's most likely to report bereavement are folks between the ages of 30 and 55.
Well, that's me. That's the sandwich generation, right? On top of caring for elderly parents, having children, losing people at the same time. And these are some of the most productive people here in society. That's a huge challenge if suddenly these large-scale health costs are taken into account.
Yes. So you might wreck your car because you haven't slept because of bereavement, or you might start smoking again. You were able to stop. You know, there are myriad things that fall into the public health domain that will reemerge that public health is uniquely positioned to address.
So where do we go from here as far as research money, some kind of collective response to this? I mean, does this go to state capitals? Does this go to the federal government?
Yes, yes, and yes. What I personally have been working on is getting the individual states to add these items to their annual, they do annual surveys. We know people don't use seatbelts and, you know, they smoke and stuff, because every state since 1984 has been asking those questions. Just ask people about bereavement. That's one thing I would like to see, because some policies, some responses will be costly, others not. And money, I don't have to tell you, everybody's worried about what policy will cost. If we can get an idea of where people are, we can figure out, each community can figure out what its need is and cost it out.
And this is clearly something you're passionate about. It's also something personal. I guess, how do you think of your own pursuit of this and why you personally are so driven here?
My interest in bereavement started back when I was a medical resident during the AIDS epidemic. I saw young men die who were my age every day for 6 months. And that process was just so damaging. It took me a while to get my humanity back. But since 2010, I've lost probably about 6 relatives, none of them to COVID. Different things, different ages, different stages, different circumstances. And I've seen the meanness, and I just call it meanness. If we don't, as a culture, understand that people suffer when they lose someone and not just make disparaging remarks about what killed them, we're not going to solve this problem.
Dr. Tony Miles is professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of Georgia. Dr. Miles, thanks for taking the time.
Always a pleasure for me to talk about my work.